Good morning, brethren. It's still morning. Good morning. Happy Sabbath to you all. I'd like to welcome any guests that we may have. I'd like to welcome Mr. Crawford. I believe you're online, on the phone. And so, again, here we are. Welcome, everyone. It's a nice day outside. It's about 74 degrees as I exited my car, kind of sunny. Had a nice summer so far. I'd like to start out today by asking a question. How many here have ever planted a tree? Has anybody here? Okay, a few people have planted a tree. Okay, great. Because today we're going to be talking about planting, sowing, and reaping. I'd like to begin by telling a short story. The story begins in France, and the year is 1913. It's a fictional story, and is told from the perspective of a young nomadic French soldier who happens to come upon an old man while trekking across a desolate and barren valley where nothing grows but endless lavender. There are very few villages in this region that is embittered by harsh conditions so much so that many of the streams in this area have dried up. The old man he comes across is a shepherd of sheep. His name is Elziard Bouffier, who is the strong, silent, pastoral type who speaks very little, but he does a lot. He does much. He's a 55-year-old widower who has lost his wife and his only son, and who has now sought the peace and quiet of a shepherd's life in the mountains. This young soldier comes across him, and he observes Elziard on the first afternoon that he sees him, sorting through endless piles of acorns. And he doesn't stop sorting them until he finds 100 perfect specimens, and he places them in a little bag. Intrigued by this curious behavior, he, the young man, follows Elziard as he takes out his flock, and he watches him plant these acorns. And Elziard tells him he has already planted 100,000 acorns, from which he expected a yield of about 10,000 oak trees. The young man remarks to Elziard how wonderful the grove of oaks will be in 30 years. And Elziard responds, if God allows him to live, he will have planted so many trees in the next 30 years that the original 10,000 would be just a drop in the bucket. The young man leaves. He's sent off to fight the First World War, and he forgets about Elziard for a while and his oak trees. But after the war, the young man returns to see the old shepherd, who has continued to plant trees in solitude for all those years. The oak trees that he saw so many years earlier had now grown. They're much taller than the young man, and so magnificent in beauty they leave him speechless, reflecting on the power of this one person to effect such dramatic change. The young man marvels at the old man's forest, astonished that this had all emerged from the hands and spirit of this little one man without any technical assistance. Throughout the rest of the tale, which takes place over nearly four decades, Elziard continues to plant his trees. He tries out beeches and maples and other seeds along the way, and he creates a magnificent forest many miles wide. Astonishingly, water and life return to this one deserted valley. The once dead and deserted villages are now springing back to life, and they begin to flourish, with families both young and old now living in these villages. Between the old population, whose lives have improved so greatly, and the young couples moving into the valley, the young soldier concludes that more than 10,000 people now owe their happiness to Elziard Bouffier. Unfortunately, nobody ever learns that Elziard is responsible for the complete transformation of this once dry and desolate area to one that is now lush and teeming with life. Many think these forests are just natural, springing up on their own. But Alziar doesn't care. He's unfazed, and he continues to plant trees until his peaceful death at the age of 87. The Man Who Planted Trees is a story about many things. It's about how one man's efforts can cause such dramatic change and beneficial change. It's a story about compassion and a labor of love. It's about how little things we do today can affect so many in the future. It's a story about planting. It's a story about sowing seeds. Today, brethren, I'd like to look at and talk about a very real spiritual principle that has many profound implications. We're going to look at the subject of planting, spiritual planting, what it is, and why we should be doing it. We'll start out by looking at what Scripture says, and we'll move on from there. We'll start out in Psalms 107 and verse 37. Psalms 107, verse 37. It says, "Sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruit of increase." So it's a principle. Sow and plant and yield. The word for sow is Strong's number 2232, Zara. It's from a primitive root meaning to sow. That's what it means. Figuratively, to plant, to disseminate. From the Brown Driver Briggs lexicon, Zara means A, to sow, to scatter seed. B, to scatter producing, yielding seed. That same word, Zara, is used in Isaiah 32 and verse 20. Isaiah 32 and verse 20. Let's notice. It says, "Blessed are you that sow beside all waters." So here we see a little blessing associated with sowing. If we look up the word sow in the English dictionary, we find as follows. Sow, a verb, meaning actions involved. You do something. Excuse me. It means to plant seed by scattering it on the earth, to set something in motion. Synonyms include to plant, to scatter, to spread, to disperse, to disseminate, distribute, or even broadcast. If we look up the word plant, and we're going to look up plant because it's very similar to sow. Plant is also a verb. It means essentially the same thing. To plant a seed or a bulb in the ground so that it will grow. Synonyms include sow and scatter seed. So we see, brethren, when we sow something, when we plant something, we disperse it. We broadcast it so that that seed will grow. And it will yield something. It will be beneficial. That's the purpose of sowing. Again, Scripture talks about this idea of sowing and planting. Let's notice Jeremiah 4. Jeremiah 4, and we'll start in verse 3. Brethren, reaping what you sow is a real spiritual principle. Sowing and planting is mentioned throughout Scripture. And here we see God instructing the people how not to sow. Jeremiah 4, verse 3, it says, "This is what the Lord says to the people of Jerusalem. Break up your unplowed ground and don't sow among the thorns." So, again, it's just saying that don't sow in a certain way. But we are to sow. Matthew 6, verse 26 tells us that in the animal kingdom, specifically the birds, don't sow or reap. Matthew 6, verse 26, it says as follows, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns." So the animals really don't sow or reap, but people do. We do. The patriarch Isaac sowed. Let's notice Genesis 26 and verse 12. Genesis 26 and verse 12. It says, "Then Isaac sowed in the land, and he received in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him." The point being is that Isaac sowed, he planted, and he reaped a hundredfold, and God blessed him. In Judges 9, verse 44, we read that Abimelech sowed a city with salt. Judges 9, 44, it says, "And Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood in the entering of the gate of the city. And two other companies ran upon all the people that were in the fields and slew them." Verse 45, "And Abimelech fought against the city all day, and he took the city, and he slew the people that were in it." And notice, "and beat down the city and sowed it with salt." So he sowed it, a city with salt. Proverbs 6 verse 12 tells us, that even wicked men sow. Wicked men plant things. Proverbs 6 verse 12. It says, "A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes, he shuffles his feet, he points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually." And then what does he do? It says he sows discord. So the point here is that we can see evil people can sow things. In this case, they sow discord. They plant things. Proverbs 22 verse 8. Proverbs 22 verse 8 says, "He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow." Will reap, some translations say, disaster. So if we're going to sow bad things, we're going to be sorry, it's basically saying. Jesus Christ, our Savior, is a sower. Let's notice Matthew 13. Matthew 13 and verse 37, and I'll be reading this from the New Revised Standard Version. And here we see Christ speaking, and he says, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man." That's him, brethren. That's Christ. He's a sower. He's the Son of Man. And it says he sows the good seed. He also gives us parables regarding sowing. Let's notice Mark 4. We'll go to Mark 4 and then verse 3. But here's an important principle I'd like you to understand or consider. When you sow something, when you plant something, you expect to get something. You expect to get a crop, a yield, a benefit. That's the purpose of sowing good things. Mark 4, verse 3 through 9, again, it's the parable of the sower. And it says, "Behold, a sower went out to sow." He went out to plant. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. And some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Verse 6, "But when the sun was up, it was scorched. Because it had no root, it withered away." Again, now look, it says seed. "Some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop." Again, you could see that sowing and crop was not reaped in this case. "But other seed fell on good ground, and what happened? It yielded a crop that sprung up and increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And then he said, "He who has ears, let him hear." So the point is, we see a sower, we see a planter who has sowed seed. Not all of it survived, but some did. And that seed grew, and it yielded a crop. Let's go back to Matthew 13. Matthew 13 and verse 24. It's the parable of the wheat and the tares. And I'll be reading this from the English Standard Version. Verse 24. "He put another parable before him, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man,'" notice, "'who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, the enemy came in and sowed weeds, among the wheat and went away. And when the plants came up and bore grain, the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master came and said to him, "Master, didn't you sow good seed in the field? How then does it have weeds?" And he said to them, verse 28, he said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servant said to him, "Do you want us to gather them?" He said, "No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I'll tell the reapers to gather the weeds first and bind them into bundles to be burned, and gather the wheat and put them into my barn." So the point, brethren, is even Satan sows. Satan plants. He sows tares in the field where God has sown good seed. He also saw one of the methods that he uses is broadcasting negative thoughts, negative attitudes. But the point is, Satan plants, Satan sows. Satan can plant a thought, and that thought can grow and grow till it chokes a person's spiritual growth. So without question, our God is a planter. He's a sower. Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that which may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Notice verse 11. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I shall please, and it shall prosper in the thing that I sent it." Remember, I told you earlier, one of the definitions of sowing means to plant, to scatter, to broadcast, to disperse. But God sows. He disperses his word. One of the ways he disperses and he plants is the Bible, is scripture. I'd like to read these verses in the NLT that we just read. Gives us a little clearer meaning. It says, "The rain and the snow come down from the heavens, and they stay in the ground and water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry." And it says, "It's the same with my word," God is saying. "I send it out." In other words, he plants it, he sows it, and it always produces fruit, a crop. "It will accomplish all I want it to do, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. So the point is, God is a sower. Matthew 15, verse 13. Matthew 15, verse 13. Here we see that Jesus says that God the Father plants, God the Father sows. Here his disciples tell him that the Pharisees were offended at what he had just said to them. And it says, Jesus answered and said, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted." It will be pulled up by the roots. The point is, though, God the Father is also a planter. So God's a planter. God is a sower. God plants things. Remember, when you plant something, you expect a crop. Zechariah 10, verse 9. Zechariah 10, verse 9, it says, "I will sow them." In other words, I will disperse them among the people. Again, that's another definition, to disperse. "And they shall remember me in far countries, and they shall live together with their children, and they shall return." Again, the point I'm trying to bring out is that God is a sower. So, brethren, it only makes sense that if God the Father is a sower, a planter, and Jesus Christ is also a sower and a planter, then we too, as the children of God, should also be sowers and planters. Then the question arises as, well, what are we to sow? What should we plant? That brings us to another important concept I'd like you to consider. You know, this life is very much like a garden, and we sow and we plant in that garden. And in a garden, you harvest what you plant. You sow corn, you're going to reap corn. To really appreciate this, we've got to understand that we're sowing every day of our lives. And we need to stop and consider sometimes and ask ourselves, what am I sowing in my garden, this garden of life? If our minds are distracted and pulled in every direction, or if we're just concerned about being entertained, accumulating material possessions, it's going to take our focus away from spiritual planting. We're not going to be good planters. We're not going to be concerned about planting, you know, spiritual planting, because our minds are occupied with other things, materialistic things, physical things, the things of this world. And this, the point is, will affect our spiritual planting and the crop that we will reap. This brings us to another important concept I'd like you to consider. We need to understand and we need to realize that the seeds we plant don't sprout overnight. You know, sometimes there's a long time between sowing and reaping what we plant. If you sow a tomato plant, you will get a crop in roughly 70 days, approximately. If you sow a pecan tree, it might be 12 to 15 years before you get a crop. Redwood trees, you know, the sequoias, and the sequoias out in California, they live a long, long time. And they grow to be huge and very high, huge heights. But it takes a long, long time for those seeds to grow into those huge trees. If you were to visit Charleston, South Carolina, you could visit the Angel Oak Tree on John's Island. It measures 66 feet tall and 28 feet in circumference. That means it's 28 feet around. And from tip to tip, its longest branch distance is 187 feet. It took a long time for that tree to grow, to be this size. And it's estimated to be anywhere between 400 and 500 years old. All these things in God's creation are examples for us. They're there so we can learn from them. So the question is not whether we are to be sowers. The question is how and what are we to sow? Because we're going to reap, we're going to harvest whatever we sow. Galatians 6 verse 7. We'll be coming back here later. Galatians 6 verse 7. Should be very familiar. It says, don't be deceived. God isn't mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. We will garner, we will harvest spiritually what we plant. If we sow gossip, we will reap the fruit of gossip. If we sow strife, we will harvest its fruit. If we sow love, we will get it in return. Brethren, just like Elziard Bouffier, we are planters. We are planting things. We are sowers. And we will reap a harvest. We will be rewarded by what we sow. So in the time remaining, I'd like to look at a few things we should be planting in our spiritual garden. The title of today's message is Sowing and Planting for Eternity. Sowing and Planting for Eternity. There's an old saying, it goes something like this. You sow a thought, you reap an action. Sow an action, and you reap a habit. Sow a habit, and you reap character. If you sow character, you reap a destiny. And brethren, our destiny is eternity. When we sow, when we plant seeds, we are planting seeds that will produce things, not just for ourselves, but for other people too. So what should we be planting, brethren? Point number one, we should be planting good things. Point number one is plant good things. They could be little things. You know, little things count. They really do. We're still in Galatians. Let's drop down to verse 10, Galatians 6, verse 10. And Paul says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of God." But the point is, we're supposed to be doing good to everyone. Everyone. That includes people out in the world. That even includes enemies. It says we should be doing good to everyone. Every time we do good, we're planting a seed. It's good for us because we're doing something that is good. And we're growing to become more like God because God is good. We're becoming more like God our Father and Jesus Christ our brother because that's what they do. They do good. They plant good. They are good. And we too must be good. You know, we're never going to be perfect in this life, but with each good planting, we become more like God. And every time we do good, someone benefits from it. You know, somebody else might not appreciate it. If we do good for them, they might not appreciate it in this life, but it will affect them. They might not really appreciate it, but it's going to affect them. We won't turn there. In Matthew 10, verse 42 tells us that God doesn't forget someone giving another person a glass of water. Little things count, brethren. Things that seem silly, like going shopping and parking your car at the supermarket and bringing back an empty grocery cart back to the building. You know, you go to the supermarket and you're near an empty cart and you bring it back. Now, some people might laugh at that. They might scoff at that. But the point is, and what we're talking about is, what really matters is, if you bring that cart back to the building, you're doing good. You're helping someone else who would have done it. You're reducing the possibility of the wind causing that cart to slam into another parked car and damaging it like happened to me. Many years ago, it was in November, there was no snow on the ground. I had this little car, wasn't worth a lot of money, but I had just gotten it painted, repainted, about 3 weeks earlier. It was November, the wind was howling, I went to the supermarket. I came out, and sure enough, here's a shopping cart right up against the driver's side door. And it put a dent in the door, and I was upset because I had just gotten that car painted. But it's just an example of how we can do good by bringing a shopping cart back to the store, because we're going there anyways. The point is, when we do good, we're building character. We're giving of ourselves. When we take something like the cart back, we're actually giving of ourselves. We're being selfless. We're not concerned about ourselves. Well, why should I bring that back? Let somebody else do it. Well, we're being selfless. We're trying to become more like God. We're planting the seed of outgoing concern for the benefit of others. We're doing something good without expecting anything in return. That's God's way. Doing good without expecting anything in return. You know, we could say the same when we leave for the feast to return home. Do we leave the place in shambles, or do we leave it as we found it? You know, years ago, I talked to a member, an individual, and he said we should leave it better than we found it. That's what he does in his life. The point is, we should be doing those things. The same applies to picking up a garment that has fallen off a rack in Kmart. You know, I've done this. It may sound stupid or silly, but I see a shirt or a coat lying on the floor in Kmart. And if you go to these places, there's a lot of them on the floor. So I pick it up and I put it back on the rack. But the point is, what did it cost me? I'm not doing it, you know, to be seen by anybody, but what does it cost to pick up, you know, a shirt that's on the floor and just throw it back on the rack? It didn't cost me anything but a little effort of bending down and picking it up. And again, we don't do these things to be seen by others, but if somebody does see it, it's going to have a lasting impression on that person to see a stranger pick down, you know, a shirt and put it back on the rack. You know, holding the door open for someone, you're doing good, even if they don't appreciate it. And many don't, but you're doing good. You see someone who's struggling and having difficulty carrying something, and you ask, can I help you? You're doing good. We're planting seeds, good seeds, not just for today, but for the future. How about the things we say? Our words have impact. We all have ups and downs in this life, and nobody is perfect. But what we say to someone can have lasting impact on that person. Sometimes we slip and we say the wrong things to others. I have many, many times. Our words, even offhanded remarks, could have greater impact, though, than we realize. Our statements can affect other people when they're going through a trial. Or maybe they're weak and they're having difficulties, and we come along and say something stupid or sarcastic. That can affect that person. That's not planting a good seed. You know, we need to realize that once we speak something, depending on our attitude, whether it's positive or negative, that's going to have a lasting impact on the person we're talking to. Remember, what we plant in the minds of others is going to grow. We're planting a seed. It'll have an effect. People have said things to me years ago, and those things are in my mind, and they still affect me to this day. The power of words. And once we say something, we can't erase the thoughts that we've planted in the other person's mind. We've planted something in their minds. Statements can be positive or negative. They can build up or they can tear down. They can praise or they can mock. Words can give hope and encouragement, or they can destroy optimism and peace of mind in others. Again, we should be planting good seeds in others. We won't turn there, but in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, it tells us that we should edify one another. The word edify means build up. That's when we're talking, we're speaking, again, we should try to edify one another. Proverbs 12 and verse 25 tells us, heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop, but a good word, makes it glad. This kind of positive attitude plants good things and good seeds among others. Let's notice Ephesians 4, verse 29. Ephesians 4, verse 29. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. I'm going to read that from the NLT. It says, watch your walk. No bad word should be coming out of your mouth. Say what is good. Your words should help others grow as Christians. We need to control what we say, our words. Let's make sure, brethren, we're doing good. We're planting good seed by the things that we say. If we sow seed, good seed, we will reap the same. If we sow bad seed, you know, that's a law. We will reap the same. Here's another important concept I'd like you to consider. We can all become sowers of good seed by letting God's Spirit, with all its positive fruits, guide us in our lives and in our conversations. We can really go into this, but we don't have time. But we could let God's Spirit guide us. We can ask God to bless our conversations with others and to help us to be more aware of how and what we say to them. Again, comments, especially negative comments or hurtful ones, can have a powerful effect on other people. Proverbs 18, verse 21 tells us, death and life are in the power of the tongue. There's a lot of power in words. Our words have the power to produce either life or death, as it said. When we are planting good seed, planting good things, we're sowing righteousness. That's what happens when we're planting good things. We're actually sowing righteousness. Hosea 10, verse 12, and I'm reading this from the NIV. It says, notice what it says. It says, sow righteousness for yourselves. Reap the fruit of unfailing love and break up your unplowed ground. So when we sow righteousness, we reap love and mercy. And if we haven't been doing much sowing, brethren, maybe it's time that we should start sowing. You know, every intercessory prayer that we've prayed, every card that we've signed or sent, every phone call that we've made, any word of encouragement, every time we forgive someone, every act of kindness, anything uplifting, anything we've done to help someone, we've done good. We've done good. And that's what we should be doing. Good. Colossians 3, verse 24. I'll give you a chance to get there. Colossians 3, verse 24. Again, we should be sowing righteousness in our lives because it's going to affect our reward in the future. The reward that God has for us. Colossians 3, verse 4, it says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance. You know, the Bible talks about a reward for God's people. We're going to read a little bit more about that in a little bit. The point here is, we increase our reward in God's kingdom when we sow good seed while helping others along and toward their goal of eternal life. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Brethren, God is good. God does good. And we are to become just like him, doing good. It says, therefore, we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. Again, God is good. God does good things. And we, as we saw, Jesus Christ and God the Father are that way, and we too must be that way. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. Here it's talking to us as brethren. It says, but as for you, brethren, 2 Thessalonians 3, 13, but as for you, brethren, don't grow weary in doing good. So we should be doing good and not to grow weary in doing good. Christians do good. They plant seeds. That's what we do. You know, there was a bumper sticker years ago that went something like this: practice random acts of kindness. You've probably heard that. But ours shouldn't be all that random. Did you know that God considers it a sin not to do good? James 4, verse 17. James 4 and verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So point number one is, we should be sowing good seed, good things. Let's move on to point number two. We only have 2 points today. Sow spiritual seed for God's kingdom. I'll repeat this. Sow spiritual seed for God's kingdom and beyond. for eternity. That's long. I'll read it again. Point number two, sow spiritual seed for God's kingdom and beyond eternity, in eternity. Let's notice Mark 4, verse 30-34. Concerning God's kingdom, Jesus uses the idea of a seed that has been planted. Again, here we see this, the continual of seed, the planting and that sort of stuff, and the harvest. But he uses the idea of a seed that has been planted that grows and grows. You see the parallels. It starts small like a mustard seed, yet when it fully matures, it is transformed. It becomes a large tree or bush, giving shelter and benefit to a number of creatures. Then Jesus said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed, which when it is sown in the ground, is smaller than all seeds, but when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may rest under its shade. So the kingdom of God is like a little seed that has to be planted. And brethren, we should be planters, planting seed for the kingdom of God. I'd like to read, remember I said earlier, we're going to go back to Galatians 6. I'd like to read Galatians 6, verse 7 through 10. This is more, you know, scripture that we didn't read. But we'll read it again. It says, don't be deceived. In other words, don't be fooled. God isn't mocked. Whatever a man sows, whatever he plants, that he will also reap. That's a law, a spiritual law. He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, he who sows spiritually, will reap everlasting life. It's talking about sowing. It's talking about planting spiritual things. The things of God. Eternal life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. So we're supposed to be doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Verse 10, therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all. Again, everybody. Not just, you know, members of God's family, but to everyone. Especially to those who are of the household of God. It is folly to sow to the flesh. He who sows to the Spirit, spiritual things, though, will reap everlasting life. I'm going to read this passage from the Phillips translation. And it says, don't be under any illusion. You can't make a fool of God. A man's harvest in this life will depend on what he sows. If he sows for his lower nature, his harvest will be decay and death. But if he sows for the Spirit, he will reap the harvest of everlasting life. We're talking about everlasting life by that Spirit. Let us not grow tired in doing good, for unless we throw in our hand, the ultimate harvest is assured. Let us then do good to all men as opportunity offers, especially to those who belong to the Christian household. Brethren, believe it or not, we are laying a foundation. The sowing and the planting we do today affects our spiritual foundation for the future. What we sow today, we will also reap in the future. What we reap will be a part of our reward. Jesus says there will be a reward for our work and what we sow. Let's notice Revelation 22, verse 12 and 13. Revelation 22, verse 12 and 13. He says, behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me. Notice, to give to everyone according to his work. Here Christ is talking about coming with a reward to give us, to give everyone according to his work. What we've done, what we've planted. Again, we might say according to what he has sown or what we have planted. There's a reward to be given to us according to our work. What we have accomplished in this life, what what planting we've done in our lives. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. More instructions. Not only are we to be sowing for the future, but we're sort of told how to do it here. This should be familiar. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, again, this is what we're talking about today, sowing, planting, and reaping. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Think about Elsyard planting all those trees. But here it's talking about sowing spiritually and reaping spiritually. It affects our future. Remember what I said earlier. It may be a long time, even a very long time, before what is planted is ready for harvest. You know, farmers sow for the future, knowing they're planting for the future. They keep working, they keep sowing continually, and they continue to nurture what they plant. People in the world around us, they're not worried about leaving or laying a spiritual foundation. We are. That's what we're doing. But this world and its people are lost. They're lost in the present. They're concerned about the now. The world is concerned about today. They want instant gratification. They want cars, swimming pool, boats. They want physical things, and they want them now. But for us, God's people, our greatest blessings will come in the future, in the world tomorrow, not of the world today. That's when we're going to get most of our blessings, in the future. Our lives today can be greatly blessed, but not in any way comparable to the future that God has planned for us. This physical life is only meant to be temporary. It's not meant to be a permanent thing. We should understand that. Our reward, our crop or harvest of what we sow will be made manifest, will be harvested in the future. The seeds we're laying now will largely affect our crop of tomorrow. Romans 8 and verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That's where our mind should be, brethren. So I ask rhetorically, what seeds are you sowing for the future? What foundations are you setting in your life now, today, for your life in eternity? Think about eternity, brother, not today. If we want to reap positive outcomes for the future, we must sow for them. God will not make any choices for you or for me. Character is a matter of free choice, brethren. And one of our responsibilities today in this physical life is to be sowing and planting for the world tomorrow. And that includes many things. It includes our own development. It includes helping the development of others. It includes helping the work, do the work of God, and on it goes. If we sow in the right way, it benefits us, and it benefits others too, and it also benefits God and God's harvest. We must focus on sowing the foundations of the future. Someone said, once said, good seeds beget good results, and evil seeds beget bad results. Let's make sure we're planting good seeds, because remember, what a man sows, he will also reap. So, brethren, at this point, I'd like to summarize by way of review. God is a sower. God is a planter. Both God the Father and Jesus Christ sow and plant, and we should too. This life is like a garden, and we live in that garden. And just like them, we too must be sowers and planters. We should be sowing good things. Every time we do good, we're planting a seed, whether it's returning a shopping cart or holding a door open for someone or just saying thank you. We're doing good. We're planting seed. Words can be seeds. Our words should be positive, uplifting, and encouraging, and never spoken to tear down. We should be sowing and planting the seeds of righteousness so that we will become more and more like our Father and our elder brother. And when we do these things, we sow seeds for a harvest that will last forever, eternity. If we want positive outcomes for the future, we must sow for them today. God will not make choices for you or me. Character is a matter of free choice, knowing good from evil, and then choosing to do the good. For people in the world who have not yet been called by God, many of them live their lives as a big experiment, not knowing what brings true happiness, living on the edge out there with no boundaries and no absolutes can be a very painful process. But someday, brethren, they too will be transformed into the children of God. And maybe, just maybe, some of the seeds that we have planted today will have helped them in the process. We are different, brethren. We're truly blessed. God has called us in this life and opened up our minds to spiritual understanding. He has given us instructions in His Word, the Bible. He has also given us free choice. God wants us to choose the way that leads to real, lasting, eternal success. So in our garden, there might be a fairly long time between what we sow and what we reap. And that period of time between requires a lot of hard work, sowing and planting and watering, and all must be done before the seeds we plant are harvested in the future. But the big payoff comes at harvest time, beginning in the millennium, and then for all eternity. Let's remember Elzéar, the man who planted trees. Let's remember the impact that he had and the happiness that he brought, not only to himself, but to the others who benefited from his efforts. Let's be planters. Let's be sowers, because there's an eternity waiting for us. And brother, no matter what our age, it's never too late. It's never too late to sow and to plant seeds.